April Power.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning and happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open. We're less than a half an hour into trading today and some nice stock market gains last month. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Where's Wall Street? Dow is down at this hour, about 0.5%. So's the NASDAQ and S&P 500. S&P down about 4 points this hour. NASDAQ down about 10. Most European markets closed for today, for May Day. The FTSE's basically flat at this hour. Most Asian markets were closed as well, but the Nikkei gained about 1.5%. So let's bring in Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research in New York. Morning, Sam.
Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for being with us. So what a month, you know? I mean, stocks are down, though. April had this big, what, more than 400-point gain, and stocks are down going into May. What's up with that?
Well, first off, it's less than 20 minutes into the trading day, but certainly April was a very good month, despite T.S. Eliot calling it the cruelest of months. We saw the S&P 500 gain more than 9%. We saw 9 of the 10 sectors within the S&P post advances, and only 14 of the 134 industries decline on the month. So the rally seems to have continued from the bottom that was put in place on March 9th.
So let's then use those binoculars, Sam, and look ahead with this old adage, sell in May and walk away. Is that the case this year?
Well, I don't think so. The old saying does show, whether you look back to 1970, 45, or 1929, that the market does much better from November through April than it does from May through October. I guess investors focus more on their TANs and their portfolios. But following what is likely a bear market bottom in March of this year, following bear market bottoms since 1932, you've been better off sticking with stocks during this traditionally weak period. The market has gained an average of 12% and has risen 12 of 14 times. Of course, past performance is no guarantee of future results.
So we're going to get some manufacturing news today. We got jobless claims out yesterday, better than expected. What can we expect today?
Well, I think we're probably going to see the Michigan sentiment report come out showing a slight improvement. We're also going to look at something called the ISM, Institute for Supply Management Manufacturing Report, which is also likely to show an increase. Factory orders, however, we think are going to show a decrease. But in general, this is still relatively positive because you have a sprinkling of good news among less dismal news in the other areas.
All right. Sam Stovall, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here, Steve.
All right. Chrysler is in bankruptcy court this morning. The plan, of course, part of what President Obama touted yesterday as the saving of the automaker. We're going to get the latest car sales report in a little while. April's number is not likely to shine like a fresh wax job. And in these days of anemic car sales, larger dealers are selling more used cars. That's making things tough for the smaller lots. Here's Marketplace's Amy Scott.
Mort MacArthur owns Mort's Imports in Cincinnati. I first talked to him about 6 months ago. For a sign of how the business has changed since then, he shows me an 8-year-old Honda Accord he's selling for $4,500.
But look at this. It has 215,000 miles on it already. Previously, I wouldn't have been able to think that you could sell them that high.
But MacArthur doesn't have much choice. When people buy new cars, they often trade in their old ones. Traditionally, anything with more than 100,000 miles on it, the dealer would unload to used car dealers like MacArthur.
But now, new car dealers, since they're not selling new cars, are keeping those models, and they consider high miles 140,000, 150,000 miles. And that's what's showing up more to places where the wholesalers have them or at the small auctions that I go to find cars.
Selling higher mile cars is just one way MacArthur has adapted to the recession. In better times, he sold 15 to 20 cars a month. But with credit tight and people out of work, he's now lucky to sell 10. So he's keeping fewer cars on the lot.
The bane of the used car lot is dead batteries and flat tires. The gremlins get them in the middle of the night from somewhere. So I don't want a bunch of inventory sitting here and getting old.
In order to sell well-worn cars, MacArthur spends a lot of time spiffing them up.
Hey, what's up?
He takes me to a nearby paint shop to see about sprucing up a 98 Mustang. He's told it'll cost him about $1,500.
What if we did a Mako-type job, just shot it?
That's one more call, see if I could just seal it.
Yeah.
A lot of MacArthur's competition has closed in the last year. He's cut back on his advertising. He hasn't paid himself in months.
I just need to be able to survive the downturn. And to do that, what I have to do is just get smaller, sort of duck.
At this rate, he figures he can duck for maybe another year. In Cincinnati, Ohio, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice, over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at trustedchoice.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
Rio de Janeiro is bidding for the 2016 Olympic Games, and the Olympic Committee traveled there this week to take a look at that country's assets. Besides the sun and samba, Brazilian officials tout the economy, which has fared relatively well in this global economic fallout. So what makes Brazil so special? From the Americas desk at WLRN, here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
Brazil once was one of the world's most indebted countries, but last year, fat with profits from biofuels, iron ore, and oranges, Brazil paid off that debt. Brazil once had one of the world's biggest gaps between rich and poor, but it plowed money into poor areas, raising 30 million people out of poverty since 1995. Paulo Sotero directs the Brazil Institute at the Woodrow Wilson International Center for Scholars.
There is an important phenomenon of an explosion of consumption in poor areas of Brazil.
That new consumer class has kept the economy afloat, even as exports take a nosedive.
The country seems to have recovered a sense of optimism, a sense of hope that was not present a few years back.
Sotero says this confidence, while intangible, is one of Brazil's greatest assets. It has helped sustain Brazil through these tough times. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Checking Wall Street again, the Dow is down about 0.15%. Just slightly down at this hour. Check it out at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.